Hello and welcome to Mellow Pod from the team behind Not Often Heard. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
I don't think I can do this.
Well,
it's over for another year.
No words. Just, I'm so bitter.
Oh. Again.
Again.
Oh, you're bitter pretty much every year, Gary, aren't you?
Oh, right. We are here for the final time this season to look at Melodifestivalen, Sweden's show to pick their song for the Eurovision Song Contest. And boy, was it a finale.
It was a fantastic show.
Wow, I think is the main takeaway from this. They put on one heck of a show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, right from the word go, when the artists basically did a Live Aid version, Band-Aid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Version of Tattoo.
It was great.
It was brilliant. I loved it.
I wonder if they're going to release that, because
they should. They really should.
Because obviously, Melfest always it raises money for Radio Yelpen, a charity, every year. So if you've gone to the trouble of recording that in full, why not release it and raise some money?
I'm sure they will do. I'm sure.
Yeah, it'd be nice
they'd be
to see that.
A trick, and I can't see SVT and the Swedish Eurovision people missing out on a trick. They know all the tricks in the book.
And we actually got to see, as we've actually mentioned on our Best of the Fest show yesterday, we said we wondered what Cassiopeia's version of Tattoo would be sound like, because she was one of the writers and did the demo, we believe.
Mm-hmm. So we got to hear her sing a bit of it.
Yeah.
That like one line. I think we all got a line each, didn't we?
Yeah.
Still.
I mean, yeah, I'm just sad that we didn't get the full version, to be honest.
I'm sure you could probably find it somewhere. I'm sure it's hiding. And if, you know, if we badger Cassie enough on Twitter /X, she'll release it for, even if, just for us.
So that segues into Queen Laureen taking to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Not even singing her own song.
No. She just goes on with those crazy nails.
Just wanders on and just kind of flaps her nails. It's kind of the weird, the kind of crab claw wave that she does to everybody. Hello. And she's kind of trying to hold this trophy, the Melfest trophy, and sort of going snap, snap. Hello, everybody. And she got in, well, the song got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
It did, yeah.
But she didn't sing. She didn't sing Tattoo.
No. We were a bit surprised by that, but then we wondered if they were actually saving her for Malmö.
Maybe.
Yes. That wouldn't surprise me, actually. You want to make sure that you have it all stored up ready for the big moment on the grand finale.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
Right, so 12 songs battling it out for the final. Shall we have a recap before we dive in for our last look?
Yeah,
hit it.
Maria Sir, When I'm Gone. Jade Smith, Back to My Roots. Awful Liar, Lisa Ajax. Smash Into Pieces, Heroes Are Calling. Cassiopeia, Give My Heart a Break. Annika, Light. Marcus and Martinez, Unforgettable. Dotter, It's Not Easy to Write a Love Song. Medina, Que Sera. Liamo, Dragon. Jacqueline, Effortless. No bias. And Danny Saucedo, Happy That You Found Me. Well, there we go. Our final look at the songs competing in Melfest this year. So let's have a... a whiz through the songs, because we have talked about them in the heats.
Yes, we have. Yes.
So let's just kind of briefly go through and just see if, you know, any opinions have changed, maybe. So starting off with Maria Sir, wasn't it? When I'm Gone. Any opinions change?
It's really grown on me. I think, and the hook and the chorus of the repeating with the love. It's really grown on me, and it's very catchy. And the lighting, the lasers, they're very
still
effective.
Love those.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, the staging is great. It's a good pop song. Yeah, but it still holds up.
Jay Smith, then Back to My Roots, who was the second chancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not my taste, so I'm really not much to say about it, to be honest.
No, I think he sings it quite well.
Yeah, this one's grown on me. I like it.
You quite like the guitar, bit, don't you?
The guitar riffs, they really kind of hooked me into this one.
Next one was Lisa Ajax, Awful Liar, performing whilst heavily pregnant. She's due in June. So she's 6 months gone?
They said last night that she was due exactly 1 month after the Eurovision Grand Final. Oof. So June the 11th.
Yeah.
This is another one that's grown on me. It's almost like she's matured, and this is a really grown-up song, I feel like.
Mm.
And she belted it out. It was a really good performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't she have some dancers? But were they there on the semi? I think they were. I can't remember them.
Lisa, was she way back in one or two, wasn't she? Heat two.
One of the early heats.
Yeah. I feel like they were there.
I probably did sort of be slightly shady and call it BTEC drama. I do whenever anybody does emotive dancing.
Interpretive dance.
Smash Into Pieces, then, Heroes Are Calling, was song number four.
Mm-hmm.
I think as we said, I think at the time, it's not massively different to their previous.
No.
They know what works and they stick to it.
Mm.
I
felt that last year's staging, because we looked at, didn't we, at some of the songs from last year.
Yeah.
I felt like their staging was better last year, you know, when they had those screens that were hanging down.
That made it look like a cityscape.
Yeah, it was like a 3D effect, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I thought it was a very clever use of the staging. This year, they've got a cityscape again-ish. Mm. But because of the design of the stage, they've gone for more lasers this time.
Yeah.
Sure.
Again, it's not completely to my taste, but I thought it was a decent performance.
Song number five, then. Cassiopeia, Give My Heart a Break. Now, we all like this song. I think we all agreed that we liked it.
Yeah, it's safe to say it was one of our favourites.
One of our tops. Now, we were sitting with friends last night who had not watched all the heats like we had.
No.
So they were coming to completely fresh.
Yeah.
And they just looked at us, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they were like, what?
What are you on? They'd looked at us as like the experts. And then when we said we'd like this and it came on, they were like, oh no, you've gone down in our estimation.
What? I'm so judgmental. I don't know. I guess, I don't know. Is it to do with them being heterosexual women and being in a room full of gay men? And
maybe.
We don't get this. Is this a you thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's altogether possible. I think the kind of like the bright, colourful campiness of it can sometimes detract from the kind of like the theme of the song and the quality of the singing sometimes. And sometimes the visuals do detract from that, don't they? Because I think overall it's quite a technical song to sing, and it's pitched quite high.
I think they made a comment, didn't they, when we were saying, well, when all the songs had been performed, we said, well, she's singing that one, but she's actually also the writer of Yaclean, or one of the writers of Yaclean's song, Effortless. And I think the comment was, so she had two songs and she chose to perform that one and give that one to somebody else.
Yeah.
I was like, shady.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
But this song is a lot more Cassie than effortless is.
Yeah, just like she gave Tattoo away to Loreen. I mean, I'm sure if she wanted to, she perhaps could have performed that herself at Melfest. That's what happens at Melfest sometimes. They accept the song based on a demo, but they don't necessarily accept the artist who sings it. It has been done in the past where a song has been submitted and it's just been a demo with an artist, and that's an SVT and the record label and whatever, and the writers maybe come to some agreement where they think, okay, to make this really work, should we perhaps have a different artist? A classic example is Linda Bengtzing, A La Flickchord. There's at least two other versions that I have. Pernilla Wahlgren sang one, and I can't remember. It might have been Ayasayama. But yes, there's at least two other demos of that song where other artists had sang it. Before Linda actually was the one that was selected to go through. So that might be the case in some of the songs this year. We don't really know for sure. It's kind of something that kind of tends to come out later down the line when demos find their way into the wild. But I still love Kazi. I still love the ridiculous reverse Mr. Blobby suits. I think that might have been part of why our friends were like, I don't get they were distracted by that.
Yeah, the visuals, I think, like you say, detract a little bit from the song, and especially when they kind of like stick their hands up with the eyes on.
I know, we just found it so funny, and they just were confused, like, what? Yeah. What? Is this a joke? And what's with the tinsel outfit? It's colourful, it's camp. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. It's totally on brand for her, as she said.
It is on brand.
Yeah,
definitely.
So, song number six then, halfway through, we got to Annika with Light. She was a second chancer as well. So we talked, haven't we, last time about how Heat 5 and then the winners of the second chance happened to be the ones from Heat 5 and recency bias.
Yeah.
I don't know if that necessarily helped her here. When it came down to the final results, because obviously it was just last week that we saw her. I think this one, she had augmented the performance with some backing singers, hadn't she?
Yes, yeah.
Live on stage
where they walked on, kind of like as you got to like the third act of the song.
Yes.
It was, wasn't it?
And I kind of think that kind of fits in with the kind of gospel type quality. Yeah, why not? Why would you not bring them on and just kind of enhance that feeling of that big chorus behind her? And I don't think there's enough appreciation for those ogre either side of her. there's monuments.
Yeah.
I wonder if they borrowed them from Kino. So can I borrow your monuments, please?
Maybe.
I think they're a nice effect, that kind of angular rock formation column type thing. Is there a geological term?
Probably, but I don't know what it is.
We need our geology expert in here. He's not around today.
But it's nice because they were mirrored, so they're reflecting all the lights on the cameras that the audience had.
Yeah,
it looked effective, and this actually, you know, I know we're going to talk about a bit more about this, but it actually did better than what I thought it would.
Mm. Song number seven, then, was Marcus and Martinez, Unforgettable. The favourites going in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as slick, I think, as it was in the semi.
Yeah, they didn't need to make any changes, and they didn't.
Yeah, I couldn't really...
No.
I mean, we had mentioned that on the show last night, if you'd heard it, that actually every act, apart from Jacqueline, had increased the number of camera cuts in their performance. Jacqueline had gone down one because she doesn't need it. It was slick. It was music video. And we've talked about the Benjamin Ingrosso effect. So that could be a danger.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed to really go down well in that hall, didn't they?
Oh, they loved it.
There was like 30 odd thousand plus people in there.
They did really like it.
And the fact that they're Norwegian does not seem to be a problem at all.
No.
they don't care. They're just like, it's a good song. We don't care where they come from.
Yeah.
I find it kind of weird, though, that there's a video circulating of them from,
2012,
when they won Junior MGP. And I think they were 10 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
And then there's a video from, I think, 2017, where they announced the Norwegian points at Eurovision. At that time, when it was being held in Ukraine.
Yeah,
and they still look really young, and the voices are broken properly. And
I mean, they still look really young now.
But they're 22.
Yeah. Well, they are really young, aren't they?
Yeah. Good performance. Mm-hmm. You can see why they would, you know, scoop up a lot of points, particularly, I think, in the televote side of things.
Definitely.
Yeah. Song number 8, Daughter. Not easy to write a love song.
No, it's not, is it?
Now, our friends were confused by the piano, weren't they?
Yeah.
I think we were all confused by the piano.
But as we were watching it last night, we were listening to Bella
Christ,
and William from Wee Wee Blogs.
Yes.
I don't know his surname.
William Lee Adams.
William Lee Adams, that's it. And they gave the rundown and said that the reason why the song title had it what it was is that Smash Into Pieces were recording in her home studio.
Like you do.
And she happened to comment, because she was trying to put a song in. She said, it's not easy to write a love song. And she was like,
light bulb.
Cha-ching! And she was sat at her piano while she was trying to put a song together. So that's why it ended up in her staging.
Yeah, and we're not quite sure about that piano. Why there's tin foil on the edge?
Yeah.
We would have noticed if that was in the semi, wouldn't we?
I'd have thought so. I wondered if it had been damaged in transit.
Maybe.
And so they'd put something on the edge to hide that.
Tin foil. Just not a bit of black paint.
No, I don't think it's not tin foil. A tablecloth.
Just put a tablecloth, although that may be a trip slip hazard.
Yes.
She's climbing on top.
It's probably some like silver gilting edging thing, isn't it? Sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, our friends wanted somebody to come and play the piano and nobody did.
No, it was just a prop. I think needs bigger nails. Basically. So she needs bigger nails.
She does want to be... she's a bit of a Loreen wannabe with this performance, isn't she?
I mean, yeah.
Song number 9, Medina. Que Sera. It went big. Big in the hall.
The crowd loved it. You could hear them singing it. You could hear the audience singing that song. And that's always a good sign, isn't it?
They
definitely loved it.
That they felt like everybody was on their feet and chanting that. It was a total anthem. I can see that sticking in people's minds and that being sung at events.
Yeah.
You know, in Sweden, maybe it'll break out. Do you think it's the kind of thing that could break out of Sweden?
Maybe. It depends how well it's marked, doesn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, it's got Swedish, French, Italian
and Spanish.
Yeah. It has the ability, maybe, to spread to other countries and become a bit of an anthem, particularly, you know, if you've got sporting events.
Yeah.
And stuff. And pyro. I think they used up the entire pyro budget from Hellfest.
And it was the Paris Olympics this year.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah, I can see them blasting out that out at stadiums. It was pretty much what we saw in the heats. I don't really notice anything different.
Party. One of the lead singers had glitter in his beard.
Was that different? Yes.
Yeah, I think it was.
Is that or he was sweating profusely?
Which is possible.
Song number 10 then, Liamo, Dragon. Now, there was a difference in this one, wasn't there?
There was. He held fire in the palm of his hand. Ooh, me got fire.
And then he laughed.
And then he laughed. During the middle of his performance, he actually giggled about it.
I guess it was almost like he couldn't believe he was there. It was a sign of enjoyment. It was like, I can't believe I'm doing this, and I can't believe the reaction I'm getting from the crowd, and I'm just loving it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was nerves or anything like that. I think it was just pure enjoyment. He just let his enjoyment slip through.
I mean,
why not?
Yeah, it didn't spoil the performance, I don't think, in any way whatsoever. Like you say, the joy came through.
Yeah,
definitely.
So he had the fire in his hand, and it felt like there was even more fire there. like jets coming down from the ceiling at one point.
Yeah, I think they'd souped up the amount of flame.
Yeah.
I said he was a bit like a firebender from Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Yes. It must have been warm on that stage.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a lot of smoke as well, mm-hmm. buzzing around. That's why we had to have a break, I think, after this song, just to clear the smoke and get his barbecues off and stuff.
His patio heaters.
Right, song number 11, Jacqueline, Effortless. Now, I was quite worried when the commentator said she's not been very well since her heat.
Yeah.
And, you know, she has been, you know, struggling a little bit, perhaps, mm-hmm. When she's been rehearsing and trying to get better and stuff. But if she was unwell, I did not notice this.
Not at all. She sang it well and she sold it.
Amazing performance. I love the song still. I wondered if she was going to have a different hair, though. I'd seen rehearsal pictures where she'd got shorter hair.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if she'd got her hair up or it was a wig and she was just trying something different. But the outfit and the hair looks the same to me as what we saw in the heats. I did see one comment which was slightly disappointing, was that when she was performing, Medina and Marcus and Martinez were making their way to the green room through the crowd, and apparently there was loads of kids and stuff rushing to the barriers and whatever, holding out their hands so they could get like high fives and stuff. And somebody said, yeah, I've never seen that happen while she was performing. So I was like, oh, come on. That's one of the best songs tonight.
Give her a fighting chance.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But just that power of those artists meant that they were like, I want a high five from them. Love that song. It is absolutely going to be played to death by me.
Yeah, it is a cracking song. It's really catchy. She sells it. She's very sultry and seductive.
And the Not We in our room last night also agreed it was a good song.
Yes, they did.
Because I was worried after Kazzy, they'd be judging us again and going, this,
really?
It's a knockoff J-Lo. But they had to agree, actually, it's a good song.
Yeah.
It really was.
Song number 12, then, our final one. Danny Saucedo, Happy That You Found Me. But you know what? This is one that grew on me. Yeah. I liked it in the heat.
Yeah, I liked it in the heat. But yeah, I think, like you say, it grew on me. It was the chorus was catchy, and he sung it well.
Yeah,
you know, I don't really know what else to say because we've said it all. You know, we've still got the same staging.
Yeah, nothing changed that nothing I can tell there. Really.
I think he wore a different outfit this time.
Oh, yes, last time
he was in the first time he was wearing like an old grey outfit, and this time he sort of was looking a bit more flattering.
Yeah, I mean, I think the right song to end on.
It's a big upbeat,
big
anthem,
bop,
isn't it?
Yeah. So yes, I can understand why, and yeah. So we kind of bookended it with some nice kind of up tempo pop.
Yeah.
Maria going first, Danny going last. So that's who was competing. Let's have a look then at how things fell.
Yes.
So who did we think, first of all, didn't do quite as well as we had thought? I think the obvious one is Jacqueline.
Yes.
I mean, her jury votes, I'm just trying to find it, where she is. She didn't get anything, 0 points from Ireland and 0 points from Serbia. Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Not even a single point.
Which basically means, you know, those two countries thought that she was in the bottom two, which is very surprising. Although, you know, we did end up saying, didn't we, in the end, that it was actually a very strong final.
Well, I think we say that every year, don't we? We go through the heats and we're like, that's all right.
That's all right. That's okay.
Then we get to the final and we're like,
oh, this is great. All of this.
I think we're not nearly all of them, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
I do feel sorry for Jacqueline because, yeah, not getting any points from those two countries. Mm. Didn't, you know, do fantastically well for her. But she did pick up a couple of tens.
Yeah.
Iceland and Australia. Yes, Iceland and Australia gave her...
No, Germany?
Iceland, oh, no, you're right. Germany. Sorry, I'm looking at the chart the wrong way. Iceland and Germany gave her tens. Yes. Because I was scared, because that was towards the end of the voting sequence. And I thought, oh, God, she's going to come right down the bottom or something. Mm. And that kind of propelled up into fourth with the juries. So, yeah, that was disappointing. I thought she would do better. Because even with the televote, she only got... Where is she? I've lost her. Jacqueline, there she is. She got 21 points.
Yeah.
Ouch.
No, she didn't do well, did she?
She was third from the bottom.
I don't know. Sometimes you just can't predict these things, can you?
Yeah. So she came ninth overall.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm. I guess just because we loved the song so much, we were always going to be disappointed. I'd said, hadn't I? That I was setting myself up here for disappointment. I know she's not going to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because I didn't dare get my hopes up. And I was right, but you never know.
And the thing you have to think about is just because it didn't do as well as we wanted does not mean it at all that people didn't like it. It's just the case of everyone's going to have different tastes. You're going to like some songs more than others, and it'd be interesting to see, like, if you took some of those other artists out of the equation, you know, how different would have the results have been.
Mm.
I think we've said this before, haven't we, about kind of like voting patterns across Eurovision, that you can be in, like, in the Eurovision Grand Final, where there are 26 songs, you can be every country's 11th favorite and not get any points.
Yeah. Well,
actually, coming 11th out of 26, it's pretty decent.
Mm. Absolutely. Dotter.
I was going to say Dotter.
She came last, unfortunately, 26 with the juries. She got just 8 points from the televote. And I thought Dotter was quite popular as an artist in Sweden.
I mean, I think she is. And obviously, she was an automatic qualifier. I think in a heat, wasn't she the first one to go through? Oh, I can't remember now. And it was probably only about 2 weeks ago.
It was her that went straight through. And then direct to finale. Danny Saucedo that came after her in the votes.
It's not the song type of song that she's known for, is it? Because it was more ballady, slower last night.
Mm.
And she's known for more upbeat, like Bulletproof and Little Tots.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe she veered a little bit too far from what people wanted from her. Maybe. But I think, you know, I hope I'm not putting words into people's mouths here, but I would imagine as an artist, you want variety. You want to, you know, sing different genres and go in different directions. You don't want to be doing the same thing all the time, do you?
Mm. Some people suggesting on social media that that's it for her, that she'll go, no, I'm not doing it again.
Oh, thank
you. But you do have to remember, this is the final.
True.
You know, she got three, yeah. You know, if she'd have bombed out, you know, like, Samir and Victor. Very popular. They've done really well in previous competitions. They didn't even get past the heat time.
No.
I think that's when you, as an artist, you need to go, okay, maybe I need to take a break from doing this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm moved on or whatever, or the way music is at the moment, perhaps I need to focus my attentions elsewhere.
Mm.
Still getting to the final means Dotter can be very proud of that.
Yeah.
Also hanging down the bottom, you got Lisa Ajax as well, Awful Liar. 26 from the juries again, and 11 points from the televote. Don't know. She's another person who's been very well in the competition. Maybe it's just the same story as Dotter.
Maybe.
It's very proud for getting to the final. Nothing to be disappointed about whatsoever.
Do you know what? Maybe people were like, oh my word, She can't be going to Eurovision when she's like 8 months pregnant. Absolutely not. We need to keep her safe.
So, were there any surprises in terms of who did well?
Yes. Can I put a word in for Annika?
Annika, yeah.
Oh, like. I couldn't believe when she was hoovering up those points. But then at the same time, it is quite a jury-friendly song, isn't it?
Yeah, it was what Malta and Serbia gave her tens.
Yeah.
Germany gave her
really
8.
Surprised.
But three countries did ignore her.
Yeah.
Belgium,
Australia,
and Cyprus. Yeah. Were not feeling the ballad.
No.
And that, so that gave her 7th place overall. I think we'll see her again.
I wouldn't be at all surprised, actually, if we saw her again.
Yeah.
Smash Into Pieces, Heroes Are Calling. I don't know, I just thought, because it was so samey to last year, I wasn't sure if they could hoover up the points. But they came third.
Yeah, they came third.
31 with the juries and 59.
Mm.
Giving them third place. I think with the way the juries placed them, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, they were fourth from the bottom.
Mm.
So that was clearly a televote giving them a boost on that one by the looks of it.
Yeah.
So our top two then, Medina, Que Sera, any surprise?
Not massively, I don't think. The way, you know, I think, you know, the top two, the first and second places, the way that the audience and the arena went wild for them, I think you knew that it was going to go well for them, I think.
Yeah, 43 points from the juries. So they were, I think, third with them. 61 points from the televote to put them second, and 104. But our winners, and kind of it played out as expected.
It did.
I guess Marcus and Martinez, unforgettable. So they got 85 from the juries. That is almost double the second place song.
Double second place, yeah.
And 92 off the televote. So that was a third more than Medina on 61.
Mm-hmm.
It was a landslide.
Yeah. There was like, in total, there were 73 points separating first and second place. There was no real contest, was there? As they, obviously, they did the Eurovision thing and went, after the jury votes, went from the bottom, announcing the televote points, going all the way up to the top. And as you sort of like got, like into the top half, and he saw the top half and the juries only picking up like 20 points or 18 points or, you know, those low scores, you kind of like knew, oh, hang on here, those points are all squished right up to those artists at the top. So you knew, and I think with still about five sets of points, I think you knew it was going to be Marcus and Martinez.
Yeah.
No surprises there. They were the bookies' favourites, I think, almost from day one.
Mm.
Just because they came second last year and they were incredibly successful. And if Lorraine hadn't been there, maybe they would have won last year.
Yeah.
Very possible. So they are flying the flag for Sweden. And I asked this question yesterday. I'm going to ask it again now we know the winner.
Oh, okay.
Do we have a Eurovision winning song?
I am going to say maybe, actually. It wouldn't be a massive surprise to me if we're in Sweden in 2025.
You think?
I just think the way that Marcus and Martinez, for me, it was how they hoovered up the jury points.
Well, they got 12s from everybody apart from Ireland and Belgium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just thought, as soon as I saw, I mean, they did the jury points very cleverly, because the first few points that were announced, they didn't get any of the big scores. I don't think they got, what, they got 1-8
from
Belgium.
And then a five from Ireland.
So then, I thought,
Have we are the juries dismissing it?
Yeah. And then they got 12s from the other six. So you're just like, as soon as that happened, I was like, the juries love it. The televote are going to go mad for it.
Sure.
So, I think Marcus and Martinez have got a really good chance in Malmö. I've got to say it.
Sure. I agree.
And if they do, Norway are just going to claim it as a victory, aren't they?
Probably. You know.
They're Norwegian. They belong to us.
They were ours first.
Therefore, we have won.
I kind of, you know, we've talked about this in previous pods and things like that, but maybe the only thing that's maybe may hold them back, we talk about the Benjamin Ingrosso effect. Their performance is like a music video. It's really slick, but will that translate to viewers and the audience in Malmö Arena? Is it a bit style over substance?
That's it. I mean, they have the chance now to change things if they want to for Eurovision.
They won't.
But knowing the history of what Melfest does, they don't, do they?
No.
It's ready. We always say it's cut and paste.
Yeah, it's cut and paste. It's ready. Sure. And when they've seen them hoover up those jury points, they'd be like, well, why would we change it?
Yeah, you know, winning formula.
We've got these 6-12s out of 8 for the juries. We've got this massive televote. Why would we change it?
And the fact that it's being hosted in Sweden, you don't even have to worry about getting your staging across to another country.
No.
You stick it on a truck and send it down to Malmö.
Exactly.
And if they've had any sense, they would have looked at this and gone, right, if we've got a good chance of winning, we need to make sure that what we do in Stockholm is something that could be replicated on the stage in Malmö. And we don't need to change it because the stage dimensions are different, or the light LEDs setup is different or whatever. We can literally just lift and shift.
Yeah, if we need to.
I mean, in Loreen last year, replicated as best they could. They couldn't get her panini press over.
No.
It was something that had to be sourced elsewhere. I don't know where it came from.
No.
We don't think it was as good, really.
They couldn't hang it from the ceiling in Liverpool, could they?
No, there was something about the weight of it, wasn't it? The ceiling was not safe enough to hang something as big as that. And so it was a different panini press that had borders on it, and that didn't quite work with the borderless one that you saw in Stockholm. Was more effective and could go higher and lift up and stuff. So that was obviously the danger for Loreen, that she couldn't replicate it 100%. But that didn't matter because I think she was good enough anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to 24.
Back to
24. Marcus and Martinez, I think they will just be taking that light show.
Yeah.
And it's just whether or not the momentum can carry on that. Mm-hmm. I have to say, the not we in the room last night said it was the best. I think they were like, yeah, we like this.
Yeah.
So if somebody can come in fresh and see that once and go, yes, I like that one, then that's something that could easily be replicated when it comes to Eurovision time.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So another Melfest season draws to a close.
Yeah.
Has it been a good one?
I'd say so.
Yeah, I think... in the end, but I know you'd say this every year. In the end, I think it's ended up being a very, very strong final 12. I think there are definite changes to be made for next year.
Yeah.
In hosts?
First of all, in hosts. I thought Karina had more personality and charisma last night than she'd had in the previous heats.
Mm.
And she'd had a proper glow up. She looked stunning last night. She looked really, really good. I think, we've said this in previous pods, I think they'll rethink Andra Hansen. I think that even if they don't reinstate it, I think they might rethink that final qualification. Don't think that went according to plan.
I speculated and thought, well, should you just like do it the next day? So you do a Sunday show, you show the performances in full from the heat, so it's a recording, and you just have a studio. You book a studio in SVT in Stockholm, get the artist to come in and sit at some cocktail tables, and you play the videos, you open the phone lines, you do a bit of green room chat, close it, and then you reveal the votes, you know, from that round of voting.
Yeah.
So at least you can try and eliminate a little bit of the recency bias.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that you can't do a full show a second. I like the fact that we've got more songs this year.
Yeah.
By having 6 in 5 heats, we've got 30 songs instead of 28. That's nice. I like that. Don't want to lose that. But I know they're not going to add another week. We're not going to go to a 7th week and reinstate Anna Hansen if they want to carry on with that kind of format. But I also appreciate that you need to let the stage crew know who your finalists are ASAP. You know, so that's why I suggested maybe you have the second chance on the Sunday after Heat 5.
Mm.
So that you know as quickly as possible, you can go, right, okay, to the people that are working in Stockholm, getting the arena ready. This is who our two finalists are. This is all the sets that we need to move in. And and they can work out the running order and the logistics of, okay, who goes where in terms of the, because of the sets, the lighting, whatever, what makes sense, and also the flow of the show.
Mm.
You know, we don't want to leave that until midweek.
No,
it's too late.
You need to give the technical team behind it as much notice as possible of what they're doing.
The thing you want is to get to the performance and something in your staging just messes everything up.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, you're right. We'll see some changes. We may be even seeing another win. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Or we'll be revealed in May.
Only 2 months away, people.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
It's like literally 2 months exactly. It's something like, I think it's like 9 weeks and it'll all be over.
Yeah, scary. So do join us when we will be back with our Eurovision pods.
We will.
In May, we'll be chatting through the runners and riders of Malmö. Okay, thank you. It's been a very enjoyable season of Melfest.
It has, yes. Yep. It's been lovely talking to you both.
We've had great fun. We hope you've enjoyed listening to it. We've certainly had fun doing it.
Yes, we have.
Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.